All right, everyone, we are now joined by tonight's winner of the NASCAR Cup Series race here at Michigan International Speedway, Denny Hamlin. If you have a question for Denny, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start up with Jeff, and then we'll go to the back.
I guess, first of all, Carson seemed to think that maybe if he hadn't gotten side by side with Daniel, at least maybe there'd be a chance if he put you in dirty air longer that they could hold you off. I mean,
okay.
you think you're going to pass them pretty soon anyway, I assume.
I think we're pretty strong at the end, no doubt.
And then just obviously, like, it seemed for a while, you know, like you were in the 20s and you actually fell back a little bit, like early in the race, you didn't really have the car that you seemed to have at the end. So is that just a difference between, like, being in traffic and being in clean air, or did you make adjustments that got it better by the end to be able to do what you did?
Both. Yeah, both. I mean, you know, we don't have a magic setup to run really fast when we're 30th. You know, it's made to be out front and in clean air. And so, we were not good. Not good at all. But once the track, there was one big adjustment we made that, you know, really helped the car. And then from that point on, then the track just kept coming to us. Like, you know, we really plan, you know, we try to plan for the end of these races to be strong at the very, very end. And so the track coming to us and great adjustments, you know, we took a 30th place car at the beginning and won with it. So it was a combination of both, and you know, we never panicked, you know, over the radio. It's just, you know, matter of fact, here's what it is, here's what we got, and I need you to fix this, I need you to fix that. And you know, I mentioned a few times that, you know, if I get clean air, I'm gonna need one thing. If we're gonna have traffic, I need another. But you know, it's just, it's amazing how different a car can run 30, being in 30th versus first. You know, I look at the lap times and I was running like 39 flats. It's like almost 2 seconds off from what we ran at the end of the race. So it just, your car's not set up to run 2 seconds off. It's very counterintuitive. It actually has less grip at that speed than it does when you're running as hard as you can. So I knew that it was not realistic. You know, once the speed came to us, the car was going to continue to get better, and it did.
We'll come to the back here, and then over to Matt and Chris.
Denny, Maxwell Fritz with JTV. So that win now puts you first among all active drivers with wins at Michigan. You also now have 21 top 10 finishes at this track. What have you been able to find at this track to stay so consistent year after year?
Yeah, I mean, I've been blessed to have really fast cars, for one. But just, you know, kind of learning, and, you know, I really kind of studied, you know, today, this morning, I really studied the 45. He started in the back last year, and I wanted to watch his first 20 laps, 30 laps to see, you know, how he navigated traffic. And, you know, and so I knew I was going to have my hands full, but I just constantly studied some different things to try to get better, and we chip away at it. Like, I never really panic at any point of the race anymore. And so, you know, starting sixth here with like 40 to go inside the last fuel run, it's like, yeah, I feel pretty confident we're still going to win. So, you know, it's just, we're at that point where we show up to the racetrack and it's like the confidence is just, you know, higher than it's ever been.
Come to Matt.
Matt Weaver, motorsport.com. Are you better right now, you feel like, than you were in 2010, 2019, 2020, some of your best seasons? Do you feel like you were more equipped and capable?
Mm-hmm.
And then why?
For sure. Just experience. You know, I was talking to Ty Gibbs before the race, and he's like, how many starts do you have here? I said, I don't know, probably 40, 30-something, 40. And he's like, man, I'm at the point now where he's like, I feel like I'm pretty – I know what I need. I know what I'm looking for. And I says, yeah, imagine having four times as many starts as you have. Like, that's the advantage I have every single week, is that, you know, he feels comfortable where he's at, but like just add another 15 years of experience, and you just, you know, the transitions of the track and like what happens when it gets cloudy, what happens when it gets sunny, what happens when the wind is this direction, that direction, all those things you just learn over time. And, you know, it's why we have the upper hand right now.
And then I asked you this at the All-Star race, but then when Coach Gibbs about retirement, but then when Coach Gibbs comes in here and says that he would sign you to a five-year deal.
He's lying.
Well, it begs the question, is there anything that you could see out of yourself the rest of this year, maybe early next year, to go, I would not leave more on the table in 28 if I did come back? Is there a certain threshold that you could cross over?
Yeah, I mean, I think if and that's a big if, like, I'm at this point and this fast at this point next year, it'd be a tough, tough decision. That's not saying that I would, but it would be a tough decision because, you know, again, I'm planning for the downfall that I know will come. I always say there's like three things that happen. You got you lose your eyesight, then you lose, you know, in no particular order, then it's your eyesight, your reaction, and then your body hurts. And I've already got the body hurts part of it, right? And so it's just the other two things have remained really sharp. And so, I don't know. It's, you know, it was certainly a goal to get to 63 or 4, as of like a couple years ago or a year ago, because I knew, all right, that would put me by myself in ninth. I ain't getting to eighth, so what am I doing? You know what I mean? So I'm content. Like, if I quit tomorrow, I swear I will feel no more gratified than if I go out there and I win 72 races before it makes no difference. So nobody cares. No, you'll be forgotten within 6 months of when you're not here. So I might as well just enjoy life while I'm still somewhat young and you know, be able to be there a little bit more for the kids and what they're doing.
Come over to Chris.
Chris Nyke at chance.com. Denny, you won by 11.11 seconds today. Once you took the lead, were you holding back anything or were you just like all out?
I wanted to go as hard as I could. Just, you know, I just wanted to make a statement on the last run. And I wanted to keep myself in rhythm. This is a track where rhythm matters, and like the minute you kind of just check up, you know, some tracks you can check up, save your stuff, you know, for a green white checkout or whatever. This is a momentum track, and like the minute you start backing off and like not running 100%, your car will start biasing doing something that it shouldn't be, because again, like I talked about, it's not meant to be run at 3/4 speed, it's meant to run at 100. So I wanted to have a no mercy run and just see what happens.
And next week you could go for a new personal record by winning 3 consecutive NASCAR Cup Series races for the first time in your career. Finished second there last year at Pocono after winning the pole. Your thoughts on Pocono? Well, achievement.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be hard, but you know, there's no better opportunity that I've had at any point in my career to win 3 in a row. Truthfully, you're going to one of my best tracks. Cars are obviously fast. Me and my team have it going right now. We know what we need every week. Our communication's great. They know exactly to what level to fix things when I ask for it. So they're, you know, now's as good a opportunity as ever.
Come back to Jeff and then over to Zach in the middle.
Obviously some thought had to go into what you were going to do when you tied Kyle. So can you tell us about, you know, went into making the flag or the design or the hat or whatever? What was the thinking there?
So, I mean, it started Monday morning. I mean, at that, you know, right after the race, it was like, okay, it's something we probably ought to get on because we might win next week, right? So I want to be prepared for that. And then, you know, I'm thinking, okay, well, how do I put the 8? I know him as the 18. I don't know the right thing, right? And then this person owns this font, that person owns this trademark, and it's like, you know, we had to have, you know, some collaboration, and I appreciate RCR letting us use the stylized 8 with the Joe Gibbs Racing 1. And it was just the happy balance that I felt good about when it all came out. And so, you know, it's NASCAR community's kind of just been through it, you know, over the last, you know, certainly last few weeks, but just generally in the last 6 to 8 months, you know, it's been tough. And so, you know, I just wanted to pay my respects to someone that, you know, I really did look up to and taught me so much as a teammate. You know, there's nothing we can say or do that's going to make, you know, his family feel better, but it's, you know, at least during that little time, you can pay him the respects that he deserves.
He probably would have been so pissed today.
He would have been pissed today, absolutely. But I would have said to him, you'll be here around here longer. You'll get me back.
Come up front to Zach.
Zach Albert, NASCAR.com. Denny, you talked a little bit yesterday about the point situation and wound up getting stage points in stage two, and Tyler had his misfortune too. This puts you at minus 51 to the lead. How do you feel your position now and to keep making gains like this and make a bid for the regular season championship?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I knew the only way we ever could catch him is he was going to have bad luck. I said it weeks ago. He had bad luck today. I mean, we were in the same wreck. We were turned around backwards. Luckily, no one hit us in turn one. Our car wasn't very good, and we overcame it. But it's like, you know, I think it's still going to have to, you know, he's going to stretch it out at San Diego, Sonoma. So I still think he's in a really good place, but like, if we keep doing this, I mean, it'll keep him interesting and honest for sure.
We'll head to Reed and then come over to the middle.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. Obviously, we're all still in shock about Kyle Busch, but in your post race, you also gave a nod to Ned Jarrett, who was, I think you called him the original badass in the 11 car. Have you basically studied the history of that car and all 243 wins now and made that connection?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you listen to MJ, he'll say the Kale's the original 11, right? But, you know, if you know the sport and you know the history, you know that Ned was the one that, like, came onto the scene and was like, you know, the guy showed up, he won. Didn't he win a race by, like, 4 or 5 laps or something like that? 14 laps. Like, come on. So, yeah, I mean, you know, over the years, you know, built a relationship with Dale Jarrett. And, you know, when I found out that his father passed, you know, it sent him a message. And we're thinking of him and Glenn and all, you know, his whole family. But he was, you know, Ned, you know, to me was the first one with the 11 that was like, you know, the guy just showed up and won. And, like, to have the discipline, or for whatever reason, choosing not to run full schedules or whatever, he still was just amazing coming out here. And like, when he showed up, it, you know, Richard Petty and those guys had to be thinking, oh, man, we're going to have to beat this guy. So just got a tremendous respect for his whole family. And, you know, as a kid, I grew up knowing Ned as a broadcaster. Like, that's how I got introduced to Ned. And I just will never forget that voice, you know, him and BP and all of them. It's just, you know, that's how my introduction into the past started. And so, you know, just again, very much like the Bush family, you just try to do your best to pay respects to them on a difficult time for the family.
Come to Taylor in the middle.
Taylor DeSarmo with MLive.com. There's a record number of cautions today, including the one that you got caught up in. How would you describe kind of what it was like today and why it was so chaotic?
Yeah, I think the restarts were chaotic because of the pushes. Like, down the front stretch, you really had to push hard to get your line moving. And all it took was, like, someone zig, the other one zag, and next thing you know, you make contact. So that, and it was tough to pass. Like, it was definitely short of, you know, the first two corners. I mean, it's definitely easier if your car is good than, like, Nashville, but it's still a track position track. Like, you know, like we talked about it, when I was 30th, I was stuck in 30th, couldn't really do much. So people know that, and so they're just more aggressive those first couple laps after restart, And that's where you saw all the incidents come from, was just that first initial lunge after the restart and everyone fighting for the same space.
Come over to Lee.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. Chris Lambert told me in Victory Lane that he really believes that you and Kyle made each other better, that you pushed each other, that you were more analytical and relied on data. He drove by the seat of his pants, but together you two made JGR stronger. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, and you know, you never really know until, like, you know, I got to switch cars with him at a few tests. Then JGR did a very interesting experiment while they had one car. They had me and Joey and Kyle all run the same car, 50 laps at Martinsville, and they graphed it all out to allow us to learn from each other. And like you would expect, Kyle was the fastest at the beginning of the run. Joey was the fastest at the middle of the run, and I was the fastest in the long run. And so you just kind of learned. Once we had that data, it was like, okay, so you can, what's the fastest ET? Like, whose run was the fastest, right? And then you learn from that, and everyone started refining it. And I think that's when Kyle started going on a nice little tear on the short tracks. You know, he learned from it. And the same thing happened to me when I got to get in his car. There was two times, one at an Indy test, one it was at a Chicagoland test. And I was just, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I can't believe he makes speed with this, and this is the avenue he sent his team down. I know it works. I know that, like, he'll probably come out here and dominate the race. So I need to make my car drive like this from now on. And that's when I change how I drive a mile and a half, and now it's my strong suit.
We'll take our final two questions from Chris and Landon in the middle.
Denny, today's margin of victory was the largest in the Next Gen 7 era. I was just wondering if that meant anything to you.
Not really. Not really. I was just afraid of one of those Kyle Busch cautions at the end.
Go ahead.
That and a flat left rear.
Denny, Landon Quisenberry, frontstretch.com. With you being so open about how much Kyle meant to you personally and your career, where does tying him today rank amongst, for yourself personally, where does it rank amongst all of your wins and everything you've done through your career?
Yeah, it's a special one, no doubt about it. You know, special for a lot of reasons. You know, back to front again, back to back, week to week, back to back, season to season here at this track. So it's super special from that standpoint. And then, you know, there was a buildup. I knew that flag was sitting in the pit box area. I knew the hat was waiting for the moment. So it's, you know, I don't know why, but over the last few weeks, like, I get nervous when I know that, like, we have a really, really good shot at winning. Like, I didn't have very much faith the first 50. But just as we started chipping away, and I, you know, there was a Rex, you know, again, to call it out, there were some wrecks that took out some really strong contenders. That was helpful. But I feel it, and so it just, there's been some buildup. I've been getting nervous race mornings a little bit because I know it's like, man, this is going to be a great shot to win. And then I knew, you know, I'm thinking that whole last run, you know, are they going to have it at the pit box? Are they going to bring it to me? Like, you know, I'm just thinking about all these things that really, you know, don't matter. But I'm also very nervous that, like, man, I don't want to lose this one. You know, it's just, it's a good time because it's not far removed, right? If I would have tied them like a year from now, I think that I don't know that it has as much recognition as what it would be because it's been so soon. And so it means a lot more than many of the other wins just because of all those things that I mentioned.
Well, thank you, Denny, and congratulations.
All right, thank you.
Do you think you'll sell? Are you able to sell this stuff, or is this like a one-off thing? It won't be merchandise. People are asking about it.
Only one. I think we were told that you can use it once.
Okay.